the chapter delegates list, those that are CHAC observer reps, they've been added to that e-list, and then the SIG leaders e-list, everyone has been added to that as well. So Judith, you had said that you didn't receive anything from the chapter delegates. Let me go back and figure out why that hasn't happened. I ensure you that I selected all of your names. I very much remember myself selecting those. So
and Gunilla says she also didn't get anything.
So let me go back.
Yeah, that's my phone chapter leaders. Yeah. Can also you mentioned about the chapter advisory council list that would only go to the representative.
Correct.
So the issue is if Shamsuddin is actually going to be active or not. We haven't heard anything from him. What I suggest is that the person who came second in the election, Klaus Hoechner, will be the alternate, and that he gets that email as well.
Okay.
And then he can be a sort of additional officer in the leadership team, so that we are clear that we have that good line of communication.
Okay. All right. Let me, I will talk to PJ on that, or Pierre Jean, who is the chair, and just let him know that that's what the case will be.
Good.
So yes. So yeah, my apologies though on this. It's tough because on paper, when the Evelyn and the working group were creating the kind of the guidelines for the SIG, that on paper it looked wonderful and very streamlined and straightforward. But then going back now and seeing what the existing systems are and ensuring that, you know, we're allowing everyone the actual rights. And because it's not a legal entity anymore, to have you all as chapter officers, it puts you in an odd predicament because it leaves you liable and it also leaves ISOC the window open. So that's why we're limiting that on the AMS front until the new AMS comes out and there's a better means to ensure that, you know, everyone's secure. We're advising or we're following GDPR protocol and whatnot. So we're trying to mitigate as much potential risk as possible. So in doing so, it's a lot of manual ads and to ensure that everyone is on the correct mailing list or the communities and such. So I appreciate you guys being
patient. There's also, Kyle, there's two lists.
Yes.
There's the chapter delegates.
Correct.
That through email, and then there's through Connect.
Yes. So with the Connect group, I believe the plan is with that is that they're trying to merge it to or figure out how to run them so that's the same thing or merges together. But yes, Judith, you're correct. There is the chapter delegates and then the chapter leaders community. So.
Right. Yes. And most people, and as Kyle knows, there's a strong preference.
Yes.
In ISOC for the email list as opposed to the Connect list.
Correct. Oh, wow. Vashgar has,
not Vashgar. It's Zachary.
Oh, he shouldn't have.
Hi.
No, I don't think Vashgar. This is Zachary.
No.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, Vashgar, you came on.
Yeah.
Vashgar. Oh, I feel very sorry for you.
Well, Vashgar wins the MVP award for this meeting.
2 a.m. We got Jolly. Jolly, you need to rename yourself from Pam.
I.
Can you as well? Excellent.
That's Vashgar listening through his screen reading program.
Okay.
We have a very full complement here. We are very keen to hear every word you say, Kyle. So we've got a really good turnout.
Excellent. So first off, welcome everyone that has joined. We've just been kind of going over some of the nuance or the with the new iteration of the special interest groups and standing groups, how there are some disconnects with our existing systems and linking them up to ensure that everyone's on the right lists, has access to the right stuff. So once again, I had thought that I had done my duty to get you guys all added to the chapter delegates, but if you guys haven't had that communication yet or approval on there that I will need to go back and see why that isn't the case. So that's my first action item, is to go back there. And sorry, more people are coming. Also, just to kind of give an overview, that Jolly had sent a very thoughtful or detail-oriented email regarding the SIG guidelines and what the capacity of what ISOC we are supporting and getting. So I'd like to kind of address some of those things of our thoughts and reasoning and what we'll be able to do and what the expectation is. Then I'd like to go over the kind of the next step of creating your action or activity plans for the year. And then just some more further admin kind of stuff or stuff that is beneficial to the entire group. So first off, I've been working with IT and, to get the standing group a Zoom license and with the Otter, business license as well that Judith has kindly, let me in on and how wonderful a tool that is. So in terms of that, with the special or the standing groups and special interest groups not being legal entities, that in order for us to give out licenses to the leadership, that it looks like they'll an acceptable use agreement will need to be signed with those that wish to have the login credentials. And that's just to ensure that you understand what the license is for. It's not so you can have Zoom happy hours or use it for your own personal gains, that it's strictly for the accessibility standing group. I think that I know all of you would never abuse that in any way or form, but it's just a way to just have some sort of written documentation that you guys are aware of what it is. So last I spoke with them was this morning, and that they're sorting out the licensees. So hopefully we can get something to you this week. If you plan on having an entire kind of membership call to discuss the activity plans or anything like that, Judith, maybe you guys can utilize the New York, the special interest right. groups.
Sure. Our Zoom is open for everyone. I know we use it also. We help out the Pakistan group. Mm-hmm. They run an IGF group there. And so we've loaned our license to them sometimes to use it, which it seems to be with all within the, it's not for personal use, it's all.
Yeah, of course. But as I said that, you know, it's right now they're almost playing hot potato with who's going to create the licensees, who's going to produce the AUA for you. So maybe it might be just a best practice for the initial calls for you guys to utilize that.
Yeah, we're happy. Accessibility.
We've been waiting. We've actually been waiting because we've heard that the Zoom would come through you. So we haven't actually held our first leadership meeting. So there's people on this call we haven't actually welcomed and, you know, shared. And so this is sort of turning everything back to front. So I apologize to the people who are new. To the leadership team, like Zakari and Zwara and Shindy, of course. So I think what we will do is we'll hold our first leadership call now that we know that there might be delays with the ISOC one as soon as we can to get everyone on track so we can plan our action plan and budget and so forth. And then we'll have a general one for the membership.
Yeah, and Accessibility SIG is happy to lend our Zoom to anyone who needs, to anyone in the standing group who needs it. We just have a regular license, you know, the regular license that you can't have more than 100 people on it. Mm-hmm. But we're happy to do it. It is connected to Otter, mm-hmm. so that when you it doesn't need the robot. Robots joining other meetings, but the robot can also join any meetings. But it live streams via Otter normally when it's used.
Okay. So my hope
Jolly,
Do we consider the otter as sufficient for a member meeting, or do we need proper captioning?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Gunella?
Yeah, I think when certainly when it comes to our leadership team meetings, we can probably just make do with Zoom, but with membership meetings, we probably should have the full complement of Otter and so forth.
No. His question is not that. His question is, on membership meetings, do we need human captioning?
We should have, yes, I believe so.
So, okay, great. That was one of my initial questions then. So, Jolly Judith, with the vendors or that you've kind of sent off in that email to me, do you think you could maybe reach it? Ideally, what we would like to have is get a contract in for the first kind of meeting or the member meeting, and then just have an addendum onto that or have a retainer. So for those meetings that you do indeed need that human captioning, that we have that, I'd love to get that kind of rolling sooner than later. So when you do have your all-member meeting, that we can have that in place.
For the captioning, once you have the initial contract, all captioning first needs is we email them and we schedule a meeting and then they bill us.
Okay.
But so they would have to bill, you would have to give the information of who they billed, because it gets very confusing, because Caption First works often, yeah, well, minute, Jolly, with ISOC. And so sometimes, we've had problems where they billed ISOC and ISOC paid for us, and they billed us, and some meetings got crossed and it took a long time to fix it.
Yeah. And Kyle, between Judith and Jolie, you have two experts when it comes to how the system works with captioning and Captions First. So, you know, they can help you as much as you need to.
Okay. Jolie had his hand up. Jolie, you unmute.
There was a time when I used to book for ISOC, for ALISIG, for ISOC DC, mm-hmm. And so they ended up at a point where they were sending me every invoice going. And there, you know, you specify to them who you want billed, but quite often somehow it doesn't go through.
Lovely.
And so yeah, you have to be, but I mean, they have an established vendor relationship with ISOC. You know, they're already registered with ISOC as a vendor.
Now, Jolly, there's nothing in, say, the contract that you have with Christy and the CMC team for any kind of web captioning. It's just strictly for broadcast.
Manage the live streams, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just trying to see if there's any way that we could utilize an existing budget line where we wouldn't have to, the budget for captioning wouldn't have to come out of your budget. So, okay.
No, I mean, that's me entirely separate. That's me as a contractor to ISOC. It's nothing to do with this.
Well, that's great news, Judith, then, that with, in regards to the captioning, that you basically send them the email saying what you need, the need is, and then they bill it. So, and let's hope that, you know, the bill, if it does come to you, Jolly,
What I think is we should have a go at Caption First and ask them if they can send us a pro forma invoice.
Okay.
You know, that I think would be a good practice so that, then you know what's coming before it arrives.
Okay.
So I don't think the words pro forma have ever been used in this context, but it is actually quite an accepted business practice.
Yeah. No, I am familiar with that.
Right. So we also can do, so the only other thing they also can do Spanish.
Okay.
But we need to have a Spanish interpreter.
Yes. So, Judith, as I said in my email last week, that the official language of the SIG is indeed English. So anything that you want to do outside of that, so translation, it's more than welcome to, but realize that your budget of that $25,000 to $30,000 a year,
yes,
that would be inclusive of that. So if that is a need, then by all means, go for it. But if you feel that you can utilize funds in another spot, just be cognizant of that.
Right. Jolly?
So you're saying that there are two different funds. One is admin, which would pay for Zoom and so on. And the other is basically your budget for the year, which from which we would do anything that isn't admin. Is that correct?
More or less, yes. So in terms of that, I mean, and realistically, the only admin will be, say, your captioning, the Zoom license, and the Otter kind of license. I think everything else is already covered or primary of ISOC. So going back to the original agenda. So, one of your questions, Jolly, was regards to what ISOC would be able to supply in terms of the e-list, the wikis and such. And from that, or it seems like the Connect platform is what's going to be that nucleus where you can put the blogs and the events and everything and utilize that as your primary kind of core or where you're going for everything and everything lies. So that's where the archives are going to be and such. If you're looking to, say, utilize social media, then we would connect you with the ISOC kind of channels or the people responsible for social media to produce or create postings for if you're hosting events or webinars and such as that to advertise for that. But realistically, the primary means for all of the standing groups and SIGs is going to be on Connect.
A question for you.
Yes.
We also use another form that is more accessible. We pay a small license fee each year.
This is the accessible, you know, the old, the New York accessibility SIG. You know, I don't think that the SG, you know, as I understand it, we don't even have any, you know, when I ask what are the duties of the admin, we don't even approve or disapprove of members. That's all, you know, my job as the admin is only to like basically be list mom on Connect, and that all the membership details are totally out of our hands. Is that correct?
Correct. And that's just because of GDPR and the standard groups and SIGs not being legal entities. If they were in that case, then you would have that access to that information, much like a chapter. But we need to think of the standing groups and SIGs as acting as working groups. And so that info isn't there. And the criteria for becoming a member of the standing group or SIG is if you're a global member of ISOC, you're automatically.
Right. So my question is, how do we get Jolly, or maybe Jolly knows the answer. Have you, the forms that they use for doing webinars or other stuff, are they accessible? Oh, because we use different ones for the.
So with the form, so like the registration for a webinar and such, is that what you're referring to?
Yes, Sally uses different ones.
So yes, so Yannicka is developing a form for the SIGs and to create that if a webinar is to be hosted. So what we can do is let's have you guys sync up with her to ensure that.
Jolly, yes, that's Jolly.
I think we're talking slightly at cross purposes here. You know, you're talking about setup of events, Kyle. Judith is really talking about access to membership details, I think, you know. And so, you know, when people join the accessibility SIG, we have a form which tells us, you know, if they have a disability, if they have experience in practice and all these kind of details.
Okay.
So this is the kind of thing we'll be lacking. I mean, we could make a Google form and punt it out to the accessibility SIG. I would like to change the subject slightly and say, just keep it on how do we access our membership? Can we say that everybody who is a member is automatically on Connect? But some of them won't have email switched on. Is there any way that we can email everybody who's a member of the SIG?
Yes. So there is that external email. So give me a second and let me.
Right. And Jolly, I was also talking about the form you create for webinars with that other system that is more accessible than the Zoom one.
What form? I'm not with you there.
You used to do another form for webinars with the what do we pay that license of $18?
Well, that's the Gravity Forms, but we just use it for registration, I think. We've only used it for registration.
Gravity Forms, yes.
And grants, and people are applying for grants and things.
So Jolly, the email that I just posted into the chat, that's what every Connect group has is their outgoing. So if you utilize that, say in an email and send it, that goes out to the entire community that's a member.
Connect,
yeah, that's within Connect, but not everybody, yes. Not everybody has
Connect
emails.
Is that.
But, you know, people don't.
So this is kind of the chicken and the egg thing with all of the GDPR. So for, unless we can tether somehow the AUA to allow you access to the emails or do something that way, that's the only way I see it possible. Or if we get somehow the legal team to have you sign an NDA or some sort like that, saying that you're not going to be abusing the only thing
I would think it would be preferable is that, you know, we just have a process where we submit to whoever is our coordinator. We'd like to email the entire membership with an announcement, mm-hmm. which would be in a situation where we have a webinar coming up. You know, okay. It would only be this kind of thing where ISOC would say, oh, okay, fill it out here like we used to on the old thing. Yep. And then so we never actually have to know that membership, but we need to be able to reach our entire membership.
Yeah. And all right. Not on Connect.
Okay. So I think a solution then would be, is say you want to produce, so the object is, yes, let's get out a form of some sort that every member then can utilize to fill out your experience in the community. Do you live with?
Yeah.
And you would send that to me, and then I would be the one that would get that out to the members. So I think that would be
I think we just need an avenue where we can actually send something out to all our members. There aren't going to be many of these. There might be half a dozen a year when we have, you know, like a form like that or a webinar. But just Connect is not good enough because people.
Yeah. No, I understand. All right. So
Sending out. So like if we want to send out, like ISOC is doing some training or some learning, do we send it out on a SIG? The question is, I don't want to use Connect. And Connect requires another step.
Yeah.
If we can send it out on the SIG leaders, but SIG leaders will only meet SIG leaders.
Correct.
I would like to send out an information about, here's the ISOC classes running on X.
Okay. So Judith, I think Jolly has touched on the solution is you're going to send that email to me and say, Kyle, can you please send this out to the entire standing group on this to go out? And then because I have under the protection of ISOC, I'll be able to go into the AMS and then send it through that channel then to ensure that it goes to everyone. And as Jolly said, that it's, if it were to go out through Connect, people do not have their emails turned on, so they're not going to get that. So this is a means to get it.
You know, I think in general, Kyle, you should have a list of resources for SGs, you know, and SIGs, and one of them is this, you know, so we should, you know, you should be compiling from going with us, you know, what these things are, and it's just spread it out to everybody.
Okay. Right. No, noted. And thank you for that.
You know, the differentiation between admin and.
Yep.
Right. And then, because right now we have no way of passing along ISOC information about classes.
I mean, I would say ISOC, passing along ISOC's information is kind of like ISOC's business. I'm only worried about passing on RSG information.
Yeah. I'm worried about everything. I
differ from you in I actually like Connect and I use it all the time.
I hate Connect.
Yeah, well, it's not so bad.
So can we have an agreement though, when we do say something that goes out to all of the community, can we also make sure that we have an archive of it or have the announcement done on Connect as well? Because I think that
It would definitely go out to our community, you know, as we'll you know, blast it out on all channels if we have an announcement. There are certain things where, you know, and we can say you probably have received this email, you should have received an email, you know, or on the email we can say you should see, you, if you're not on Connect, you know, this, you'll be receiving this. I mean, there's no way you can look at your analysis and say who is not receiving emails from Connect and just mail that.
And also, I find it very difficult for Connect. Also, to get attachments, you have to log on to get an attachment. You can't just get it. It's also very bad for people who have hard, and I'm not sure how accessible Connect is.
I understand. And so Judith, also a tidbit is, come quarter three, we're rolling out the new AMS. So Fontiva, Salesforce. Hopefully that will be the solution where we have something that's quite a bit more responsive, user friendly, and overall
accessible, Kyle.
Accessible,
to make really sure that this is accessible. It's been tested by real people with disability.
Correct. And Gunnel, I think you guys had the conversation with the communications team, and I think that might be a nice avenue for you guys to kind of broach as well. I know that they had said that the first year would be the existing kind of content, but then in 2023, it would be more on the tools and stuff at hand. But I think you might want to, I would push on, yeah, on the accessibility.
I made that point very clearly, that if there are any new tools coming in the meantime, while the content is being made more accessible, that shouldn't get through without this being tested properly.
This is great timing, Gunilla, because I have a meeting myself with the company that is doing the implementation and creating the user stories for the special interest groups in this. And I'm putting that as a major point, is the whole accessibility thing, that let's push that.
Yeah, they often are not tested by companies. They say, oh yes, well, we'll look at that. We had this thing done. We had this thing done. We follow these guidelines, but then they're not tested.
Yes.
Yeah. They ask us, they say, could you have a few people look at this and tell us? And what we've been responding to them is, this is not the way you do it. You hire professionals who know how to test sites, who audit your site.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, we say that to the foundation all the time. They'll listen to us.
Yeah. All right. So moving along, because we don't have that much time, I want to talk about that kind of action plan and that and how that's going to come to fruition. So I know that you guys have said that you're going to hold your calls or whatever and get the teams together on the same page and kind of look at stuff. And I think one benefit of the scanning group here is that you have experience. You've been functional before in previous iterations. So I don't think your goals per se are going to change too much in that your area of focus. I mean, you guys are experts in this area. The template's going to be looking at your activity. So as, Jolia, as you noted or said earlier, there's the small portion for the administrative kind of things, like your licensees for communications, but the real meat of it is for the activities. So what activities are you going to hold? Are you going to produce any kind of reports? Are you going to host an in-person event where you need to rent out a venue or some sort like that? So these are going to be tethered. The activities will be tethered to KPIs, or so your overall goal. So looking at your goal and then your activity and then the KPI that relates to it and then your target. So, I mean, that for every single standing group in SIG is going to be the activity kind of template going forward. So strategically thinking how you go about to create the biggest impact for the standing group. Judith, please.
Back on admin issues, what about business cards?
So we're not doing
any. You need to get special ones if we're getting any of them.
Yeah, I don't think that I have to check with Christine there and see what the deal is on the business cards. I know that was not a priority across the board, that you can utilize on Connect. You can print out one of those cards there to say that, but
you cannot. No.
All right. I understand the merit there, but I can't guarantee anything. I know that this is a nice ask and a benefit.
Question for you. Can we use our funds, $20,000 to $30,000 to do business cards then?
So here's the thing, though. How would you tether that? So your activity of producing the business cards, how would you tether that to a KPI? If you can give a
because of actively being involved in the community by people who are attending conferences and those kinds of things, that's where the business cards come in very useful.
Okay. All right. If you put that in, I will try to work a way to get that through. But that's going to be a challenge across the board there. Just traditionally, you can say it's going to be tough.
I'd say, Judas, that in the short term, we have to look at it on a case-by-case business. If we have someone who's going to be attending a conference.
But then then we have to pay twice the nose, like you pay through the nose for things. We want to get the cards done by Perth.
But if you utilize the New York chapter, SIG, and produce a card with that, so then
no,
you don't have
we
to
did them. We did them through. Gunella has a good company in Perth, Australia.
I'm saying though, for the business card, saying
for
New York
funds,
chapter special interest group ally.
For funds, you know, now that we know, we'd have to apply through the New York chapter for the funds to be on the net. You know, the eyes, and this depends on all kinds of stuff like the New York chapter's other projects and whether we're ever going to get be on the net funds ever again. You know, we don't know.
Understand. Right, really, let me go back to Joyce and Christine and talk this over and see, because yes, I do see the merit that if you're attending a meeting and to be able to trade contacts with someone.
In particular, we need Braille cards.
Need Braille cards, and we can't do the one-offs. Wait to a conference, because then we pay three times the price.
Okay. All right. Could you give me an estimate of the requirement of how many or which individuals would need a business card, and basically the pricing on that? That would be helpful.
Gunala can do that. Gunala, can you do that?
Well, yeah, I mean,
I could work with Gunala.
We'll certainly contact the company, but within our group, we need to decide who needs the business cards. We're going to have it for everyone in the group. That's not necessary.
Let me also look to see if I can utilize a different avenue for that. If I can ask the content and the communications and marketing team to see if they would be able to support that on any front. If that would be a possibility as well.
We'd also like to see that people who are staff of ISOC also have Braille business cards.
Okay. So, Gunala, with the communications meeting, I think there's another action point to ask on them. Is that? So I'll let you guys take that up with them there. But yes, another valid point, Jolly. So let me go back and see what I can do, because yes, I do see there, it is valuable to have that and that opportunity.
And we can't print them off like others can.
You need a special printer, and yes,
it's 3D printing.
I will say, Judith, that there's some woman in Brooklyn who does short run Braille business cards. And I went to her with our original order, and she said, oh, that's too many for me to make. I can just do, 50 or something, or 20, she just does a small amount. So there are alternatives that we and it's something that we as a group should look at, of finding out more about and being able to inform people how they go about this.
Okay, yeah. Jolly. So that's really good. So we've got
a question for you guys on that front. Going after someone like a VistaPrint or a Custom Ink that produces cards, are you aware that they have a CSR or a kind of a donation kind of thing where you can apply for that? So then maybe they could produce them for you for the cause, or?
No, sometimes always the best you can do is get them to take off the tax if you're.
Okay. I have a contact at Custom Ink, and I know that they have a small business card kind of division thing. So let me reach out to him and see if there's anything that.
They have to do, it's unlikely. The ones that Gunella found is a 3D printing, where it prints on both sides. And in fact, when we showed them to the ISOC staff, they were very impressed with them.
Yeah, it's a different thing, whereas rather than indenting or whatever, they actually dump and fuse.
I'll get in on top and print. Okay.
And it was much cheaper, I might say. When Shabir went to the Federation of the Blind conference in Vegas, I had to rush cards out from the last minute. And we used a firm in Boston, and it was $700 just to do cards. When we worked with Gunella's firm, we did cards for the entire entire offices of the SIG, and it only cost us what it was.
500,
I think. Right. Less, yeah.
So guys, let me park this here then with that. I'll go back and see. I think one benefit or argument that I can use in your support is that you're a standing group. So you guys are lasting forever.
We're going to be around and make a choice.
All right.
Okay. That's great. So Kyle, I wanted to then ask you, you said there was a template for the action plan.
Yes. I'm going to send that to you all after the call. It's in a doc format. So which would be best for everyone to be able to?
I think a doc format is best.
Okay. Yeah. It's a doc. And basically there are two hyperlinks into it. One is just, the pointing to our action plan, ISOC's 2022 action plan, because it's basically designed to go broad and then kind of tailor it into, the activities that you want to carry out for the year. And kind of looking at those long-term goals. So best case scenario, what is the ultimate goal of the standing group? Then looking at the kind of midterm goals of during this election cycle or to the end of 2023, what are your goals there? And then the short term, looking at from now until the end of the year. And so the focus really is for the activity portion is to looking at now until the end of the year to develop those activities, the KPIs and the metric targets that you want to accomplish or what is feasible. And so from there with this template, I encourage the entire leadership team to work on it together. And maybe the planning and reporting officers, they're the ones that, work as the kind of scribes here and write it or put it together. And then I'll be working with you all to kind of go through it, see if there's anything that is missing or if we can tailor it. And then, we'll be using, the working group that kind of worked on the new iteration of the SIGs or the new template and then inviting a couple of other people or I guess John Moore was involved in the working group to begin with, but a couple of figures in the ISOC community that could provide some insights there. They're not going to be saying, all right, this plan's approved or anything like that, but they're just here to provide feedback or because of their past experiences with the utilize. But I'm very confident here because you guys have all, this is not your first rodeo. You're all proficient in ISOC. You're all very, I think you're well respected. You understand, what running a special interest group or experience running the chapters is like. So I have full confidence in you all to produce something that's tangible and actionable for the year.
My question is, just like Jolly's question, what does the treasurer do now that we are?
So you remember our, so I suppose with the treasurer's role, if you are going to get down the avenue by creating that partnership with the New York chapter or any kind of third party organizations, if they're going to provide in-kind contribution, I mean, you'll be taking track of that and being able to inject it into the meetings or whatever. So that's the opportunity there. If there are external partnerships that involve in-kind contributions, you'll be facilitating those and then making sure that, you know, I'm informed or Christine's informed of that.
Like also working with the IGF and that type of thing.
Yeah, so like the DCAD and all that other stuff and or IGF is out of curiosity.
Oh, okay, there's two things. So there's the Dynamic Coalition, yep. Which is part of Dynamic Coalition in there. But there's also the IGF working with the IGF Secretariat.
Yep. Okay. And Judith, out of curiosity, is the IGFSA still providing any kind of support to
IGSSA does not provide any support to developed countries.
No, but I'm saying in years past, I mean, I believe that
we've never got from the So what he's saying is that IGFSA does fund transcripts for IGF MAG meetings.
Okay.
But they also do, from time to time, provide funding, say, for webinars.
IGFSA funds IGF.
We're talking about IGFSA.
Right, IGFSA has a fund that helps, just like ISOC and the foundation has a fund that helps national groups put on IGFs.
Okay.
IGFSA, but they only give funding to developing countries.
Yes. Because like when I was running that, I was just curious to see if it was still the same thing because I know when I was still running the secretariat, that we provided the stipends to get, I think Gunella, we got you to Guadalajara through the IGFSA, if I recall. Yeah. Do they still do anything of that or is that no longer
a priority of them? Okay. No, they do not. Marcus doesn't have funding for that.
Oh, I got to shake Marcus up then and get that funding back for everyone then.
You know, there's some funding that comes from
Google, right?
From Google to us to fund.
We have funding from Google to DCAD to help people with disabilities come to events.
Okay. Is there any way that we can ask Vint for any kind of funding for the standing group or is he adverse?
He's,
Look, I think we should probably separate that. I mean, sure. I asked Vint personally for that fund, for DCAD, and that was specifically for, ensuring that the voice of persons with disability was heard at IGF, and that was through travel. But during COVID, it was for support for broadband and also in developing computer hubs. Like Chindi is on the call, and he ran two computer hubs. So that's quite different. But there is a possibility. So no, I don't think we should involve Vint in the standing group trying to get funding. I think that we should keep that separate for some particular other issues. So we don't get muddy the waters too much. But I think with IGFSA that there is a possibility maybe that we could get, support for sign language interpretation, for example, if needed, through webinars. So that's maybe where we can get assistance.
Interesting. One other
another possibility, what we've also been using the DCAD fund, the funding that he gave to DCAD, is for DCAD, for our annual event, we've been funding the translation, the sign language interpretation in international sign language.
So on that, Judith, in regards to the human captioning, you had proposed the ASL or ISL for the meetings as well. Is that something that you would?
I said that we should have, not necessary for membership meetings unless it's needed. I think what happened is that we should put out a notice for our members, mm-hmm. and say we will have captioning, but also please let us know what if you require sign language and what sign language you would require,
Could you use using the workflow that's been proposed, where you guys, so say the member meeting is scheduled. You send me the details for that, and then I will send a note out to the entire accessibility standing group community. Could you guys also have that, say, a survey or a attached form to that, asking that question, so then we could kill two birds with one stone, and then if that's needed, then we
can. The normal process, and I'm thinking of, you know, the FCC at this, you know, but, you know, you say, if you have any special requirements, please email this address, and it isn't usually a form. It's usually email. And you initiate a conversation, you know, about what can't be done.
But okay.
Yes, that's the normal best practice.
So in terms of that, then, would that be something that, say, Jolly, would you be willing to be that backstop?
Yeah, admin. That comes under admin. Yeah.
Right. And so the thing is, when we did our contract with the vendor in New York, they offered a lot of different options, but they didn't offer ISL. Okay. Because as I understand, the ISL is not it's not an actual language.
We don't know what, you know, our members will want. We have to.
We don't know what our members will want. But ISL is, we in the past have used certified only translators.
Yep.
Both for ASL and any sign language we use certified translators.
Okay. Good
and then for international sign, which isn't a language. So anyway, we don't need to get into the details.
Right, no, but I'm just saying it's very, because not, it is very expensive.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so I've got just one question, Kyle, in regard to our leadership team. We now Jolly set up a WhatsApp group for us, so we communicate via that. But it would be helpful when we, you know, start working on our action plan and other things to have an email, a listserv just for our leadership team. Is that at all possible to do that?
I'm going to try on that because that's been a request from one of the other SIGs as well.
I saw that from the Internet of Things.
Let me see if I can do it on my own accord. If I go into Outlook and create a group where I might have to be CC'd on that, or else I can try to use a different email so then I don't have to see any of your correspondence.
What's up with our IT department at ISOC? Can't they set up an email alias?
They can, but it's
bureaucracy.
I can talk to 3G direct. You know what I mean?
Yes. Let me see what I can do by myself so I don't I make it as easy as light a lift for them, meaning they are involved at all. And let me try that after this call and see if I can add all of you into a list so then you guys can communicate with one another. And,
I mean, it doesn't have to be a list. It just has to be an alias.
Yeah, you know, let me see what I can do if I can create that group. I think it's pretty simple. I've done it in the past years ago. But yes, it would be just the leadership. Is there anyone else that you would like involved there as well, or
we just want it for the officers, of the group.
All right.
Yeah, that's cool. And we will invite Klaus Hockner. We have to wait to have his acceptance, but once, and hopefully we will, then I will ask to have him included as well.
Okay. This raises a question for me, which is, if we want to bring in someone else as an executive council member, as it were, is there any process for that?
So you would have to produce like the merit on that. Like what would it be? Who would it be for? Would they be added to the chapter delegates, or would it be, say, someone that's part of the SIG that is, has special accommodation? Like what would the ask be? Yes, to add them to everything that you all have access to, or?
No, yeah, probably adding them to that alias. You know what I mean? We just add them to the WhatsApp group, but we give them some kind of status. You know what I mean? If we had someone, say if we had someone who was specially representing one class of accessibility.
I understand what you're saying, because I know some of the other SIGs are asking if they can create like internal working groups themselves and have like a regional perspective, and essentially being able to give that person that designation of that. So I would say you just email me and say who you want, and then we go from there. I would need to check to see if it would be official if we could add them to, say, the chapter delegates list. That might be a little hard to do, but
probably they don't need that. I mean,
but yes, I would say we can definitely give that designation. The other promise that I want to produce for you guys is in this template for the activity or action plan, is creating a chapeau paragraph or a description of what the standing group is and what it does. And that way, if it would be wishful thing, if we had this to begin with, it wouldn't confuse people, the whole idea of accessibility. What does that mean? Is it what the previous iteration of the SIG was, or is it people looking at it as internet accessibility? So I think by creating this clear kind of statement on what the standing group is about, and then we can list the officers as well, and kind of give you guys a spot on the ISOC website of what you are, and be able to highlight the work as well and create those connections. Because it's one thing that I've been getting kind of pushback on, is that everyone's like, use Connect, but there's Connect is for the ISOC community, or people that are members of ISOC or global members. There's that whole external community where you're trying to create that game or get people to understand all the hard work that you're putting into. And that's the other side of the kind of
our advantage here is that we have the existing SIG, which we have a wiki, we have a website. And I mean, it's my intention is to document what's happening in the SG with the SIG. And this is part of our, the previous SIG is going to, continue and support the SG in everything that it does. And we see two advantages in this. And one is that the SG can make an action plan, which is narrow and can work towards that purpose. And other stuff, which like supporting DCAD and this kind of thing, we can retain in the old group. You know what I mean? And so no,
absolutely. And I think that's an advantage that you have over the other SIGs is they don't have that.
Well, except for the youth SIG, which is.
Well, yes, but that's another story on itself though, because yes, it is the youth observatory, but they're not a registered entity in any way. At least you guys under the New York chapter are a legal entity.
Yeah, we're
a legal entity.
That's a nice advantage because there, yes, it looks great that they have the observatory, but can they take money on or no? It's very difficult. So no, I think that this is a great opportunity with what you guys have and the fact that, I mean, you guys are also experienced. So I think developing this action plan, I think you guys are ahead of the game. So Gunella, action points for myself, we're actually overtime. I will be going and making sure that everyone is, able to access the chapter delegates list. And then I will reach out to Pierre Jean and ask him about the proxy once again, or saying what the deal is. That I'm going to have Christine as well reach out to Shamsuddin because, you know, she's been able to actually make contact with him. I believe the rest of us haven't had as much success. So let's see if I can help or she can help kind of facilitate that and see what the action is there, because it would have been nice for him to join today as everyone else.
We tried.
Well, yeah, he crossed for the doodle poll I set up. Yeah. He said he couldn't do any of the times and there was a wide range of times. So yeah, we tried.
Okay.
We should have a call with him on his time. Let him say a time and we'll all get there.
And Gunella, just, I'm glad that that's been documented and such as well. I mean, that's something good to have. So, and besides that, I'll be sending out the action plan to all of you in doc format and then setting up an e-list of the leaders. I'm going to try that right now. And then please, guys, anything else, just use my personal email. I know that I often put the SIG support as just creating an archive, but just reach out to shulman@isoc.org. I think that is the easiest means. I get inundated with spam on the SIG support left and right, and I'm more responsive on my personal. So once again, thank you all for making the time. Vashkar, thank you for...
Thank you. Very pleasure to meet you all.
Yeah, thank you very much, Vashkar, for coming up to this meeting at 2 a.m. I'm very impressed. Okay, thank you. And thank you, Carmen.
And staying awake.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm very much excited to work with you all once again. You guys have so much energy. It's a lot of fun working with you and the cause and your focus is super valuable. So I'm very happy to be continuing this relationship with you all.
Okay.
Good.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Bye.